Thank you very much, Rabbi Kahn. I also want to thank Rabbi Shanker for his role in inviting me to be able to share Torah here. I remember this as the room that I used to daven in every day as a high school student. Do you still daven here? Thank God. It was not a great idea back then. It's always a little bit scary to have the responsibility of sharing Torah with a large group of people after hearing Rabbi Kahn list the people who are here. Some of the people who are here, I have to confess that I am absolutely terrified, so forgive me if that comes through, but Bereshos Kol HaKahal HaKadosh HaZeh, the topic for today that we were supposed to speak about is the Indian of Kavod, the topic of respect, not only Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, although primarily so, but also Ben Adam L'Makom, and I thought that in general, it's helpful if you want to understand a topic, if you want to understand what something is, it's sometimes helpful to understand the opposite of it. You can't explain light to someone who doesn't know what darkness is. It's very important to know what the opposite is in order to understand it. So first we're going to talk a little bit about bizyonos, about denigrating something, about disrespecting something, particularly mitzvos, because this comes up in the context of Ner Chanukah as well. And then we'll talk a little bit about kavod. But by kavod, I think more than honor. You know, the Rambam writes that a person is supposed to honor and love his wife, and a woman is supposed to honor her husband. When I talk to Chassanim, I generally don't translate the word kavod as honor, but as, and the truth is, the word ohev is very much connected, but as to adore. And when it comes to mitzvos as well, it's important not just to honor mitzvos, when it comes to our chaverim, our friends, our fellow Jews, not just to honor them, but to absolutely adore them, to love them with a very deep kind of love. But first let's talk about the opposite. There is a concept that one is not supposed to be mevaza a mitzvah, that one is not supposed to denigrate a mitzvah, one is not supposed to treat a mitzvah in a fashion that shows an absolute disregard and disrespect for the mitzvah. So you would think that this has something to do with the value of the mitzvah inherently in and of itself. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, when he quotes the Gemara that appears in a couple of places in Shas, in Chulin Daf Pei Zayin, and in the Ner Chanukah Sugya and Shabbos Daf Chaf Beis, the Rambam quotes the halacha that when one does the mitzvah of Kisui Adan, show of hands, anyone ever do the mitzvah of Kisui Adan? Ooh, a few of you did, okay. I did as well when I was studying for Smicha here in YU. We used to do 6 months of learning Hilchos Shechita before they changed that in the Smicha program, because that didn't make much sense. Most of us were never going to become Shochtim. But after 6 months of learning Hilchos Shechita, my Chavrusa and I took a field trip to a place where they actually shechted, where they shechted chickens. And the guy is sitting there, the shochet is shechting 1,000 chickens in an hour. It's unbelievable. Just one after the other, just shechting. And at the end, they got these buckets full of blood, as you might imagine, at the end of the shechita. So there's a mitzvah to do when one is shochet, an oaf, or a chayah, in this case it was oaf, when one is shechting a chicken, when one is shechting a bird, a mitzvah of kisei adam. So what's a mitzvah of kisei adam? There's supposed to be some dirt underneath the blood that they prepare in advance. And then you cover the blood with dirt. There's a bracha, everything. It's a real mitzvah, min ha-Torah. So they honored the visiting future rabbis with doing the mitzvah of kisei adam. So there's an opportunity, a special mitzvah to do. But the Gemara, in that context, of all the mitzvahs in the world, in that context, the Gemara talks about the concept that a person shouldn't disrespect a mitzvah. How would you disrespect the mitzvah of kisei adam? Well, it's about taking dirt and putting it on top of blood. So you would think the most efficient way to do that is just kick some of the dirt on top of the blood. Like for the fathers, you know, like Billy Martin used to do to umpires, right? Like, you know, to just kick up some dirt on top of the blood. But the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to, explain it to the kids later. You're not allowed to kick the dirt onto the blood. What do you have to do? You have to take it by hand in a shovel and then cover it by hand. Because when you kick it, it's a bizui mitzvah. The Gemara says, Misha shafa achichasa, the one who does the shechita should do the kisui. But the Gemara goes on to say that b'mesha shafach bo yichasa, that the very thing that you did the shechita with, namely your hand, That's what you do the kisui with. Shalai chasenu v'regel, shalai mitzvos b'zuyos alav. Don't do it by foot, because that's going to be a bizayon to the mitzvah. So that comes up in the Ner Chanukah. So, oh, but the Rambam. The Rambam quotes this. The Rambam says, and you know why that's so important? The Rambam says, she'ein hakavod la'atzman shel mitzvos. This is so critical to remember. The kavod that we show mitzvos, the honor, the love that we show mitzvos, when we show that we cherish a mitzvah, it's not about the mitzvah. Ela lemi shetziva bahen baruchu. It's about the one who commanded us in the mitzvah. There used to be a way that Hasidim would make fun of Litvaks. They would say that they daven to Hashem and we daven to the Shulchan Aruch. You know, that there's sometimes such an emphasis on mitzvahs that we forget about the mitzvah. We forget about he who commanded in the mitzvah. And it's important, whether you're a chassid or not a chassid, as long as you're a Jew, and even non-Jews as well, to talk about Hashem, to talk about God, even non-Jews as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about prayer in school. And part of the tshuva discusses whether non-Jews are obligated to pray. So you would think, well, let's run through the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Is prayer one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? Right, what's the mnemonic? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and the big three, for those who know the mnemonic. So it's not. Prayer isn't one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. I would list them, but I'm afraid I'm going to get them wrong. So prayer is not one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. It's definitely not on anyone's list. So Rav Moshe writes, of course a non-Jew is obligated to pray. Because a non-Jew has to believe in God. And how could you have a relationship with God if you can't pray to that God? If you can't talk to Him, if you can't converse with Him? So of course a non-Jew is obligated to pray. Of course he has to daven. Non-Jews have to talk about Hashem also, and talk to Hashem. And says the Rambam, in Hilchus Shechita, of all places, when you're showing respect to a mitzvah, you're not showing respect to the mitzvah, you're showing respect l'mi shetziva bahen baruch hu. And then he adds a little more. And this is a Rambam, a halacha sefer, although he sometimes does get into agada. V'hitzileinu milamashesh b'choshech. Hashem saved us with these mitzvahs. Because without mitzvahs, we're lost. We're feeling around in the darkness. Think of the Ner Chanukah imagery in these long nights. We don't know where we're going. We're feeling around in the darkness. V'arach osanu ner. Says the Rambam, he's using Ner Chanukah imagery in Hilchos Shechita. And Hashem prepared for us a candle, liyasher hama'akshir, va'or lahoros nesivos hayosher. Hashem got all of the things that get in our way, that tend to get in our way of achieving what we're supposed to in life. Through giving us mitzvos, He prepared a path for us. He gave us light that show us that path. That your words, Hashem, your mitzvot, Hashem, are my ner, they are my or. It's not a coincidence, I don't think, that the other place in Shas where this halacha about kisei adam appears, about not covering the blood with your feet, is the Ner Chanukah sugya. How does this come up in Ner Chanukah? What does covering blood with your feet have to do with Ner Chanukah? It says the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Avasi. Asur lahartzos ma'os keneged Ner Chanukah. It used to be that when people wanted to buy things, they would actually carry cash with them. There was paper money. You still see it sometimes. So it was before Amazon, before we all supported Jeff Bezos. There was cash, and a person would want to always count his cash. You'd always want to see, well, how much he has. You're not allowed to do that. Keneged Ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to use the Chanukah lights to do that. Why not? So says the Gemara. I don't understand. V'chiner kedusha yeshba. Does a candle have any kedusha? So the Gemara says, well, v'chidam kedusha yeshba. Does blood have any kedusha? No, blood doesn't have kedusha. Candles don't have kedusha. And you're still not allowed to desecrate it or denigrate it. Because a mitzvah cannot be bezuyos alav. Mitzvahs have to be treated with a great level of respect. The Medrash in Parshas Vayigash tells us that Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem tells the Jewish people, Hayu mechabdinas hamitzvos shehin shluchai. Respect the mitzvos because they are my messengers. Ushlucho shel adam kamosa. And the messenger of a person is like the person himself, and therefore kaviyach, the messenger of Hashem is like Hashem. Im kibatita usan ki ilu li kibatitani. Im bezisa usan ki ilu kvodi bezisa. If you honor the mitzvos, you've honored me. If you disrespect the mitzvos, you have disrespected me. So this comes up in a number of contexts, this idea of disrespecting mitzvos. There is a passage in the Sefer Charedim, the Hakdama to Mitzvos. He has a whole section on rules of Mitzvos in Os Hey, where he goes through seven ways in which people tend to disrespect Mitzvos. I don't want to go through all seven, but maybe go through some of the examples he gives. Different ways that people tend to disrespect Mitzvos. So the one way that people tend to disrespect Mitzvos is people do Mitzvos with Kalus Rosh. Kalus Rosh means that we don't take it seriously. It's done in a way where it's lightheaded, you know, where we, you know, imagine like certain minhagim that we find a little funny or difficult to understand. The simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Our family, we always get together with our next door neighbor on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Our next door neighbor is Sephardic. She prepares this entire Seder of Rosh Hashanah, every fenugreek or, I don't mean, you know, every possible simin that there is. With the whole Seder Advarim, with the Tfilos. You know, but sometimes, you know, people tend to make a mockery of these things. Oh, now I'm going to be ahead, there's a head of the fish. We're makbid. I have a guy that's a caterer that brings me every year, he listens to my shiurim, so Sakar Satov, he brings me every year a head of a lamb on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So it's a good party favor to have, scare people away. But people tend to denigrate minhagim. You know, there's a maisa with the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer was talking to someone who came for a bechina to get smicha by the Chassam Sofer. And the Chassam Sofer was learning with the guy, and the guy knew a lot, he knew a tremendous amount. The Chassam Sofer saw he wasn't shakna. And it bothered him. He refused to give the fellow smicha because he wasn't shakna. What does shakling have to do then? You know what the Gazari says? You know where shakling came from? The Gazari says it used to be that people had to share books. They didn't have one sefer. They certainly didn't give out iPads to everybody. So they had to like share books. So they'd roll out the scroll and they'd have like five people around the scroll and each person would like lean over, read what he needed to read and then like back up. And then the next guy would lean over. So like it got to the thing where everyone started leaning over and shuffling, and then that turns into this. And when you come back from Shana Aleph, it's like this. And you know, like that's how it developed. But a minute Yisrael says of some stuff, we respect Minhag Yisrael. You don't make a mockery of Minhag Yisrael. I was once on a Pesach program, and they have to come up with kosher entertainment every night. If anyone has ever been or runs a Pesach program, so they brought a comedian in one night. I like funny people, but I wasn't so interested in going to the comedian. They always say, keep it kosher, and they often don't know what kosher means. But this happened to have been a frum comedian. So, no, not a frum comedian. A comedian who grew up frum. So the fellow started to talk about the idea of covering challah. It's an appropriate case of topic. Covering challah. So he was saying how, you know, I was told when I was in yeshiva that you cover the challah because it's going to embarrass the bread when you say Baruch Pri HaGafen on the wine. And he went on this whole rant for like 10 minutes about how ridiculous it is, in my opinion, in a very unfunny way, how ridiculous it is that we are embarrassing the bread. What does that mean? Bread doesn't get embarrassed. If you're an Amaretz, you can make fun of things. If you're a Talmud Chacham, you want to learn about things. You want to understand it. You want to understand what Lo Yira HaPas Boshto means. A Kalus Rosh. There's a certain lightness with which we take mitzvah sometimes. That's something that we're not allowed to do. Another example, and using the example actually of the Gemara, counting mitzvah, counting money, Keneged Ner Chanukah. Now it occurred to me as I was driving in this morning that the idea is to use a mitzvah for your own personal benefit. You would think, why not? If it has utility, and the candle's going to stay lit anyway, I'm not ruining the candle at all when I'm counting money connected to the candle. I'm not doing anything to you. I understand if I'm using some smelly oil, or if I'm flicking the light or trying to pass my finger through the fire and see what happens, those kinds of intelligent activities. I understand that that would be something that's affecting the mitzvah. Counting money. What's so bad about counting money? And it seems to me at least, that the idea is, and the Urayim really points this out, that whenever you're using a mitzvah for something other than the mitzvah, it shows that you're not putting it on a pedestal. There are certain things that are collector's items. I take my kids, or used to, every summer, I take my boys, my four oldest children are boys, so I would take my boys every summer on a baseball trip. We go to different baseball stadiums throughout the country. So major league games are expensive, minor league games are cheap, so in between major league stadiums, we go to as many minor league stadiums as we can. So we once went to Trenton. Who plays in Trenton? It's not so far. Trenton Thunder. Who are the Trenton Thunder? No one knows. I believe they're the Yankees minor league affiliate. I don't know, that's what I was asking. I was hoping someone would know. I think they're the Yankees minor league affiliate. So I believe, yes, I'm getting some nods. Okay. So I believe when we were in Trenton, there was this young, gigantic right fielder a few years ago. I mean, this is the biggest human being I think I have ever seen. And he was super friendly to my kids. They came over, he was schmoozing with them, he was signing things for them. He was great. The selfies, the whole thing. I was able to finish the whole Parsha Shemitah, the Chitargum, the whole thing. As during the time he was schmoozing with them. So we have a whole bunch of baseballs that are signed by this guy, Aaron Judge, at home. So one of my kids last summer wanted to have a catch outside with another one of my kids, or with one of his friends. And he just grabbed a baseball. And he started throwing it around. And one of my older sons came home and said, "Wait, which baseball are you using?" And it was one of the baseballs that we have signed. We have a few. One of the baseballs that was signed from Aaron Judge. "You can't use that. It's a baseball. What's it supposed to be used for?" Right? You could excuse someone for thinking that a baseball is supposed to be used to play baseball. But no, we know intuitively that that's a bizayon. You don't use an Aaron Judge signed baseball to play baseball. That you can, it gets a special spot. It goes somewhere special. And that's another type of bizui mitzvah. That a person just doesn't respect the mitzvah enough to give the mitzvah its due, to let it just shine as a mitzvah. Another example of bizui mitzvah that the Gemara has in Sefer Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim has very graphic terminology of how the Azara cries for certain things. And one of the cries, or the screams, the shouts that the Azara screams in pain, the Gemara tells us, is about a man, Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai. Who is Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, and what did he do so bad? Shemechabed es atzmo u'mechalel katshe shamayim. He respects himself and desecrates katshe shamayim, holy things. Why would he do? Imagine doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. We romanticize the Beis HaMikdash, but like any Kohanim, think for real what you're going to be doing. Right? You're going to be dealing with a lot of blood, killing lots of animals, and it's messy. The Gemara describes, the Mishnah describes in Maseches Pesachim, that on Erev Pesach, when millions of people are bringing their Korban Pesach, Kohanim are walking around knee deep in blood. And this is what we're looking forward to. So this fellow, Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai, he used to wrap his hands in gloves or in cloths so that he wouldn't have to get his hands dirty. And the Gemara says, the Azara screams about that. Get him out of the Azara. He doesn't belong here. A person who puts himself above the mitzvahs. A person has to have self-respect, yes, but not at the expense of the mitzvah, not for one to put themselves above a mitzvah. There are many other examples of how a person has to humble himself for a mitzvah. A person has to, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that when it came time to prepare for Shabbos, there were Gedolei Amoraim who were very wealthy and could afford many, many shvachos, they could afford lots of help in the house. And yet they would sweep the floor, they would prepare the food, they would want to do something themselves. What about kavod abrios? The Bir Halacha points out, what about kavod abrios? You have to have this certain sense of self-respect, and this is beneath them to do such things. No, it's the kavod of Shabbos. It's the kavod of Hashem to prepare for Shabbos. Yeah, I have to have self-respect, but I put the mitzvah above myself. The respect that I have for the mitzvah goes above myself. There's a fellow in my shul, Dr. My shul, he's a grandson of Rav Palm's Zichrono Livracha. Rav Palm is one of those special Jews that every story you hear about him just makes you smile a little bit. And he always tells me different hanhagos that his grandfather had. And one of the hanhagos, he says his grandfather, every Erev Shabbos would make the potato kugel. Because he was such a great cook? No. I don't know. I never tasted the kugel. Maybe he was. But that's not why he did it. He did it because that's what you do. Meaning, even though, he's a Rosh Hashiva, why does Rosh Hashiva have to be cooking for him? Because that's what you do in order to honor a mitzvah. So we spoke a little bit about bizayin of mitzvahs. But let's talk a little bit about love of mitzvahs. And love of Hashem. And kavod that we show for mitzvahs. How does one express a certain kavod? You know, why is it so important to express kavod? And this is important because Hashem said to do. Why is it so important to express kavod? So I think a lot of times you find that people tend to be much more committed to that which they honor. People tend to connect much better to that which they respect. And when you develop a certain attitude, it affects action as well. You know, if you can imagine, I know I taught in a boys' high school also for a couple of decades, and therefore every mashal I ever gave in my entire life was a sports mashal. But like and I'm a big sports fan and everything. You know, with that disclaimer, imagine someone came from, I don't know, either 200 years ago or 200 years from now, and they landed in America on a Sunday afternoon at 3:30 in your living room, and they were watching you. They would think it's like, I'm not sure if I'm getting this reference correctly, but they would think it's like a Hunger Games kind of thing. Like, oh, what happens whether they cross that goal line? Your life must depend on it. The way you're reacting to it. The way, you know, one of my children said, look, Abba, the Jets are mishpacha. No, they're not. They're really, really not. Our lives don't depend on it. But why is it so important to us? Why is it more important to me when a professional athlete does something than if, I don't know, a sixth grade girls basketball team? You know, whether that game turns out one way or the other. Because we ascribe importance to it. We give it the chashivas. When one gives something chashivas, it becomes chashiv. When we treat something with respect, it becomes something respectful, and it's very humbling when something's treated without that artificial chashivas. You know, I have a good friend, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus, who's a rabbi in Queens, a rabbi in Lander College. He's from Toronto originally. And he told me he was talking to a friend of his, a family friend, who never had a child that was very ill. And the child, this goes back a number of years, the child was in the hospital, in the children's hospital. And as it happens, in children's hospitals, famous people come through, you know, usually with their PR staff to make sure that everything is caught on camera. I had a friend that worked in a children's hospital and told me that there were certain people that you knew were really sincere. They would come alone, unannounced. Mariano Rivera, for the Yankee fans, unannounced, alone, like genuine. He said that in this children's hospital in Toronto, there was going to be a celebrity that was coming. His name was David Beckham. So David Beckham, at the time, he was a soccer player, so in America it doesn't mean that much, but at the time, he was like the biggest star in the world. I mean, he was someone, even in America, we knew who David Beckham was. Not just because of his wife. Even in America, we knew who David Beckham was. And this was in Toronto. So David Beckham comes into the hospital, all the kids are excited, and he's going around from room to room. And there's little Yitzi, who's in the hospital. And David Beckham comes into the room and says, "Hi, Yitzi." "Oh, hi, what's your name?" "Yitzi." "Hi, Yitzi." So Yitzi turns to David Beckham and he says, "Are you a tzaddik?" And David Beckham says, "Excuse me, what? I don't think I understood you. Can you say that again? Are you a tzaddik?" And Yitzi's mother's sitting right there, and she's like, "Oh my God." And he says, "Are you a Talmud Chacham?" And Yitzi's mother at this point is like, I don't know what he's talking about either. He must be delirious. She's like totally distancing herself from the kid. And David Beckham says, "I'm sorry, I don't really understand what you're talking about." And Yitzi says, "Everyone said you're really special, and everyone's getting excited for you to come. So if you're not a tzaddik and you're not a Talmud Chacham, what makes you special?" And he said, "Oh, I play soccer." Yitzi said, "So do I." Why is it important? It's important because we make it important. But a person who sees things straight, a person that understands, being a tzaddik, being a Talmud Chacham, ultimately is more important. And we have so many Jewish practices that relate to this. How we treat mitzvot. You know, there's a minhag to kiss mitzvot. Not just tashmishei kedushin, tashmishei mitzvot, to kiss mitzvot. It's recorded in Shulchan Aruch in many places. What do we kiss? What mitzvot do we kiss? So right at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, we have kissing tzitzis. Recorded in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah. What else do we kiss? Also at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch? Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog is not recorded in Shulchan Aruch, but it's recorded in later poskim. To kiss Lulav and Esrog. And matzah. And sukkah. That's one of the Shulchan Aruch. Tefillin. Why are we kissing these things? These are inanimate objects. The Ramah records a minute to kiss Sifrei Torah. Not just to kiss Sifrei Torah. You know what the Ramah records a minute to do? Take little children who, they don't even daven yet. They don't even know how to daven yet. Take little children, bring them to the Sefer Torah, tinokos, so that they can kiss the Sefer Torah. It's not just a cute thing that you see that's done in shul. It's a minhag in Shulchan Aruch. Because what does that say to a child when the very first thing he gets to do when he comes to shul that he's excited for is to be able to kiss the Sefer Torah? You should wash their hands first and their mouths, because they went to the candy man before they kissed the Sefer Torah. You know, we'll upset the guy who donated the mantra. But to kiss the Sefer Torah, that tells us that there's something, there's an expression of love. Where does kissing a mezuzah come from? The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah tells us the story of Uncle Sager, that they wanted to arrest Uncle Sager for converting. So they sent a legion of soldiers to arrest him. And he had a conversation with them. He was very charismatic, and he was mekarif them like that. Rabbi Berg is here. Yeshiva Torah would hire him like that. And he was mekarif him just like that. And then they said to another legion of soldiers, said, "Okay, don't talk to him, because it's not going to work out if you talk to him." So they went, they're not talking to him. But he was able to talk to them. And he was mekarif them just like that. And then another legion of soldiers, "Okay, don't talk to him, and put in these earplugs, you know, noise-canceling headphones, whatever, beats or whatever. Just don't listen to him." And they weren't going to listen to it. And the uncle is walking out, and there's a mezuzah there. And he touches the mezuzah. And they say, "What are you doing?" "Oh, okay." Once they started the conversation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us, unlike other kings who stay in the back. Hashem stands in the front and he protects us. And he was makariv them. And from there, the minhag of kissing the mezuzah. You know, there's a famous maisa with Yaakov Kamenetsky that happened. You know, I went to MTA for elementary school. I went to a place called South Shore in Long Island. And Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky was the Rosh Yeshiva, Yaakov Kamenetsky's son. So the famous maisa that happened in South Shore was that in the kindergarten classroom, they had the mezuzah really low down. And Rabbi Yaakov was taking a tour of the yeshiva, and he said, "Why is the mezuzah so low? Is it supposed to be higher on the door?" They said, "Because the children are so little, they need to be able to reach it to kiss it." He said, "So put a chair by the door. The mitzvah doesn't come to the person has to be taught to go to the mitzvah, to love the mitzvah." They say, if you ever look at a picture of Moshe Feinstein learning, there are plenty of them, he learned a lot. There's you never see him like pulling the shtender toward him. who's always hovering over the sefer, to come toward the mitzvah. Sfardim have a practice to kiss the hand of the chacham, to respect Talmidei Chacham. It's a very important practice. How do we speak about our Gedolei Torah? When we speak in reverential terms, it sends a message. This is meaningful to us. I would suggest, from time to time, I go to different places to give shiurim, and sometimes I bring children with me. My own children, not. And my children sit in the crowd somewhere, and you know, afterwards everyone says, Yashar Koach, okay, good job, yeah, because no one's mean to your face, usually, there are always a few people, but for the most part. But then my kids report back to me. You know, when you said this, the guy behind me had this snotty thing to say, you know, or that cynical line, or think before you comment. Pretend that person's children were sitting right next to you, because they might be. If a person shows respect to Torah, respect to Talmidei Chachamim, that has an impact. There's another minhag about respect and love and adoration that comes from the Gemara at the end of Masechet Ksubos, to kiss the land of Eretz Yisrael, to kiss the ground, to kiss the rocks. How do Jews without a Beis HaMikdash retain such a connection, such a love for Eretz Yisrael, that we get a Medina and 60, 70 years later the majority of all Jewry is there? Picking up our lives, we see it all the time. We all have family members who made Aliyah. Just picking up their whole lives and going, where did that love come from? We hadn't been there in so long. Where did that love come from? Because we were taught these stories that when you see Eretz Yisrael, you kiss Eretz Yisrael. So now with the new airport, you can't come down the stairs anymore and kiss the ground where it used to be, and it feels weird to kiss carpet. But that's where it comes from. We show this tremendous love. And bringing it back to Chanukah, the Nes of the Shem, you know, the Gemara asks, my Chanukah. It doesn't seem like the greatest Nes in the world. I pointed out yesterday, I was speaking somewhere, and it occurred to me recently that the Nes of the Shem is a Nes that I personally have been zochet to a very similar Nes. Meaning, it wasn't like Kriyas Yamsuf. I never had my own Kriyas Yamsuf. What was the Nes of the Shem? The Gemara says, my Chanukah. And it says, oh, well, there was this one little thing of oil and it lasted longer. I'll tell you, I have a car parked in one of the YU labs here. You can go see it yourself. It's filthy. It's full of I park under a tree sometimes. And that car is a Nes. Well, why is it a Nes? I'll tell you. I brought the car to a mechanic a while ago because it died. And he said, you need a new battery. I said, okay, I'll get a new battery. And then he looks at me and goes, you know, this is the original battery in the car. I said, okay. He said, how old is this car? I told him how old the car is. He's like, that's pretty impressive. The battery should have died 2 years ago. That's Nes Chanukah. No? It had a little bit of juice, and it lasted longer than it was supposed to last. It lasted for 7 years instead of 5 years. Isn't that Nes Chanukah? I don't mean to make a mockery after making a whole speech about how you're not supposed to make a mockery. But the question is, like, why is that a Nes worth celebrating? It didn't save us, it didn't really help us that much. The famous kasha, tumah hitra b'tzibur, we could have used tamei oil anyway. And, by the way, that nes was replicated in the times of Chazal. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, I think it was, Misha Amar, the Shemen va'ad yidlik, whoever says, the same God that says Shemen would light, will say Chometz would light. It's a better nes, they didn't even have oil. And it lit. I think what was special about the Nes Chanukah was not that it was such an impressive Nes. What was special about it is it was Hashem's way of telling us that He loves us. It was Hashem's way of saying, I'm here. that I'm going to do this for you even though I don't need to do it for you. Because that's what a father does for his children. It's so amazing that in the Alam Nisim, when we talk about the great miracle of Chanukah, we talk about Uvo'u v'necha l'tfiyah Pesach. We don't say Uvo'u avadecha, Uvo'u klal Yisrael. Uvo'u v'necha. Hashem, your children came. We're relating to Hashem as children relate to a father. A certain sense of love, a certain sense of warmth. And that ultimately is the biggest takeaway from Chanukah. To show respect and love for mitzvahs. And through that, hopefully, to impact how we respect everything around us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, of course, and all of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. We should be zochet to use that light of Chanukah to illuminate that which is truly important, respect that which is truly deserving of respect, honor that which is truly deserving of honor, and be able to enjoy and appreciate the abundant love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us. Everyone have a happy Chanukah and a wonderful day.